Chapter 55. It's just like you would imagine, and nothing like you could ever imagine. The large elevator, a pond full of animatronic alligators could fit in here, glides up effortlessly, approaching the tippy top of the high heaven, above us nearly 350 feet from the ground. I look down at Benji's hand as he absently rubs the beads on his bracelet. Ted lifts his tablet. Everyone here? Robinson. Paper Faris. Here. Aurora, I whisper. You mean Miss Schneider? Shh, shut up. Here. Mike Horner. Whoops. Yep, gone. Fell in love. Love kills your common sense. Okay, yes, that's right. Good for them. Ted continues his checklist, with Claire and Benji, the other remaining red team members, and Albert, the surviving green team member. Just 5 contestants have made it to stage 4. The crew, the ones with the actual jobs and necessary skills, repeat here as their names are called. Captain Daniels, looking as sternly as ever out the windows, watching mission control get smaller beneath us. Then Reagan Malone, Dylan Garcia, Drew Ines, and Skylar Gaines, all with the best posture I've ever seen, gleaming in their shiny new spacesuits, helmets at their hips, ready for action. 5 contestants, 5 crew, and Zach Larson. I nudge his arm. Not for nothing, Zach, but walking the launch pad last night, your security around the perimeter is pretty lax. Oh, is it really? And he grins and winks at me. Shit, I should have known. Don't worry, Paper. We blurred out the appropriate bits before we posted it to Groupie. You didn't. Larson shrugs. But before he can answer, Aurora crosses to the space between us. Hey, Larson, I thought you were staying home. You know, the big guy behind the scenes. You never came up in Martha with us.
I apologize. I thought it went without saying that I was coming. You think I'd spend $10 billion on this and not go myself?
He points down.
Take a look at these feet, Aurora.
So, they're feet.
These feet are going to be the first feet to step on another planet.
He looks up, squints into the distance.
Uh-oh. Uninvited guests.
Off to the south, barely visible, a caravan of black trucks, like ants, is throwing up little clouds of dust as it snakes its way down Route 88 to the launch site's entrance.
Ted?
The headset squawks into Ted's ear.
Yes, sir. The vote went through. 7 hours early. Mission Control is being instructed to shut down the launch.
Damn, they voted early, sneaky bastards. Tell them we will do no such thing.
Countdown? 1 hour, 13 minutes.
Let's make it 13 minutes.
Sir.
I don't know why Ted even said that. He's never won a single argument with Larson, and he certainly isn't going to start now. Instead, he whisper shouts into his headset, and all our stomachs tighten into knots.
No one throw up. I forbid you.
The elevator reaches the gangplank and halts with a little clunk, and Zach practically pushes us all, running, towards the doorway to the main cabin of High Heaven.
Come, come, children, don't want to be late for school.
3 of the crew stop short in the middle, Daniels, Reagan, and Dylan. Reagan pleads,
Sir,
if they voted, this is illegal, we can't. Zach turns back but doesn't stop.
We can, we will. Come.
Reagan and Dylan hang their heads and retreat to the elevator. They're not coming. They're staying here on Earth.
Damn.
Daniels growls.
You're going, Zach, no matter what.
I'm going, Dan, no matter what. This is it.
Daniels shakes his head, looking angry that he has to decide between the country and service he's known all his life, the U.S. of A., or his friend and employer for the last 5 years. He looks between Larson and the 2 crew apparently staying behind. I can't imagine the thoughts screaming in his head. He steals his jaw.
Hurry, in.
Larson gives the hint of a smile and pats him on the back as he enters the hatch. Ted,
standing just outside, addresses us just like a mother might do with her kids on the first day of kindergarten.
"I'm leaving, but I'll be watching you. There are 73 cameras on board. Don't do anything I wouldn't do."
And he turns and dashes back to the elevator to catch up with Reagan and Dylan. The team is moving fast, obviously faster than they had planned, and we don't have time to admire the incredible interior of this ship. Daniels barks,
"Secure the hatch! Start the systems checks! Contestants, buckle in!"
The engines have been idling for hours, just in case, so we're ready. The five of us contestants and three remaining crew and Larson climb into our chairs, awkward, now lying on our backs, looking up out the front window at the cloudless blue above us. The rumble beneath us is unnerving. I have the sudden panicked feeling that I want to go home. To get the hell out of here and feel the ground under my feet and appreciate the knowns, even if they're bad knowns, the solid dirt, Nana's terrible dinners, the bad TV, playing with my little rockets. Wait. Rockets. I have to laugh. I've imagined myself more times than I can remember. A little miniature me, being inside those tiny homemade rockets as they shot up into the sky, whooping with excitement and flying free. For years I have imagined that. And look at me now. Here I am. The thing I had imagined is real. I am going to shoot up into the sky. I am going home. My cheeks tighten into an involuntary smile, and my fear dissolves, its void filled instead with anticipation and adrenaline. I look over at Aurora, sitting in the seat beside me. She looks like she might be having the same thrill-slash-terror moment. I reach out my hand and she takes it without looking, still staring wide-eyed out the window, afraid. And I whisper to her, "Hey, look who's the rocket girl." And her hand shakes a little less, and her lip curls up just a bit at the edge. All systems check out, and shouting echoes through the cabin and over the speakers. Ted's voice sounds nervous. He's finally lost his cool.
"Sir, they're at the gate. They have papers. I don't care if they have bazookas. Don't let them in."
We watch on monitors throughout the cockpit and see that the team of federal agents is now past the verbal arguing phase and is forcing their way into the main compound.
"Sir, I have eyes, Ted. Bolt the doors. Start the countdown."
T-minus 1 minute, 37 seconds. The thunderous growling 350 feet down reminds us. We're sitting on enough explosive fuel to literally shoot us past the moon. Aurora and I are practically strangling each other's hands. Albert is silently making the sign of the cross. Benji is furiously fumbling with his beads and whisper shouting,
"Gaba Gaba Ganeshi,"
over and over. Claire grips her armrests madly and says to no one in particular,
"Oh Lord, I think I just peed."
T-minus 1 minute.
Now the federal agents are inside the control room, and there's a scuffle. The agents in suits step back, replaced with agents in black tactical gear, pointing guns at the poor computer nerds who never in their lives asked for anything like this. The monitor shows them scrambling like mad to disable their controls, but the gun-toting agents pull them from their posts and sit down in their seats, banging away, trying to stop us. The lead agent, I presume because he's got the suit and a gun, and he's the only one with a red tie, sticks his face into one of the cameras.
"Larson, if you don't shut this thing down in the next 30 seconds, you're breaking federal law. You'll be fugitives."
Larson snickers.
"Space fugitives. I like that. Sounds like another show. Ted, will you jot that down for later?"
He turns his head and says, as calmly as possible with 56 engines preparing to erupt like 56 volcanoes,
"Crew and contestants, my friends, I did not think it would come to this, but it has. I have forced you into this situation, and as long as my hand is on this master control, I am essentially kidnapping you, So, I'd like each of you, I insist, actually, in order to avoid arrest or worse, to speak clearly into one of the cameras the following. I, state your name, am the unwilling victim of Zach Larson's illegal voyage to Mars. Once I reach Earth orbit, instead of competing for the following 3 weeks, I will end my participation immediately and take one of the lifeboats back home. Silence. It takes an eternity, but one by one we shake our heads and grin at each other and truly understand how far we've come. This is no longer a silly competition. Each of us has gone through 9 weeks of hell, learning that this isn't a trillionaire's folly, or a little girl's dream, or a path to fame and fortune. Although it is all those things, too. No, this is big. Really big. The word big can't even do it justice. It's probably the biggest thing we've ever tried to do as a species, right up there with a wheel or plumbing. And we are, each of us, part of it. So we are not going home, not a single one of us, not before we get a chance to shoot out of orbit, to Mars, and see how far we can take the human race. Alas, 4 of us will go home before the actual voyage to Mars. But not for giving up. Screw that. 10 seconds. Larson grins, too. Well then, let's see what all the fuss is about, shall we? 8 seconds. Aurora's grip threatens to break my fingers.
Is this happening?
I nod. Yes, but don't worry. You'll get to go home before the Mars part. She laughs. Ha ha, we'll see. 4 seconds. There's a flash in the control room and the monitors go blank.
Mr. Larson, sir.
Can't stop it now, Dan. 3, 2, 1. Lift off. The cabin begins to shake like a house being torn off its foundations by a tornado. Then a force, like none I've ever felt, like an immense ocean wave pushes us up into the blue, and I'm pinned to the back of my seat. I gasp at the great weight on my chest, the oppressive force of gravity trying desperately to keep me here on Earth. And I begin to cry, but not from the pain or the fear. From joy, the joy of fulfilling that little girl's wish, of becoming the thing I had dreamed of. I did it, little paper. I did it. I made it. Tears stream down my face as blue turns to black in mere seconds, and we pass the point that Martha had taken us. Low Earth orbit, hurtling towards our high elliptical orbit thousands of miles farther. Where Martha felt like a modest jump, this feels like a giant leap. A real space flight, where the curve of the horizon is sharper. You can even begin to see Earth as a sphere floating in space, and there's a sense that the slightest little push will break us free from its pull and send us on to Mars. As the thrust abates, my body floats against the harness, and the sun shines through the front window into my eyes, warming my face. I exhale. Little paper can stop dreaming. She's arrived. Zach turns to us.
Not many men and women have been this far from Earth. You should be proud.
And I am proud. Beaming with pride, actually, and grateful to every single person who helped me get this far. My whole family, my mother included, and Benji, and Dan Dan, and Zach Larson, and Angel. And yes, even Aurora. I look over at her.
Why are you looking at me like that, Forrest? Are you going to puke on me again?
No. Look at us. We did it.